Would you rather? I imagine for some of you, fun memories come to mind at those words. If you don't know what I'm talking about, would you rather is not only the start of an honest question, but in the past few years, it's become a popular party game, kind of a break the ice game to help you get to know someone better than just, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? The game goes like this. There's a leader who poses two options, and the objective of the game is to choose which one you'd keep and which one you'd give up. Here are some examples. Would you rather give up pizza or coffee? Would you rather give up football or baseball? Would you rather give up your hearing or your eyesight? Some of you may be saying to yourself, this is ridiculous. You're right, it is. That's the whole point of the game. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be non-threatening. But yet, even behind the banter and the humor, there's a deeper purpose for the question, would you rather? Because so many of us so often put up those shields, those walls, those manufactured external shells that we hope people see, and yet we very rarely let people see the real us. And so the question, would you rather, digs behind that wall and sees not just the you portray, but the you that you actually are. After all, it's easy to see someone's heart in what they won't give up. And so let's play again, second round if you don't mind. But this time we're going to raise the stakes a little bit. The first option is going to be random, like before, but the second option is going to stay the same. You ready? Would you rather give up your free time or Jesus? Would you rather give up your financial stability or Jesus? Would you rather give up your friends, your family, your very life? Or Jesus? Why aren't you smiling anymore? I mean, this is supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be fun, so what's the problem? Well, the would you rather game is just fun and games when the options are absurd. And when you know that you can walk away from the game and not lose anything. Right? I can choose between pizza and coffee, between football and baseball, between seeing and hearing, and yet walk away with all those things and watch both the Super Bowl this afternoon and the World Series while having a cup of coffee in one hand and a slice of pizza in the other, and your pastor won't say no. But what happens when the absurdity of the questions comes not from their foolishness, but from their seriousness? What happens when you have to consider giving up things that you've worked hard for, that you've given so much time and effort for, that you love so dearly? That second game of would you rather, it was only just a game, just a hypothetical, right? Come, follow me. Though short and simple, those three words changed the world. And why wouldn't they? Because they were spoken not just by any ordinary 30-year-old man in Galilee, but from the same voice that shouted into the primordial ether of our universe, let there be light. And there was. As those words of the Word made flesh rang out over Galilee's sea, two pairs of brothers were presented with a life-changing, would you rather? For the first pair, Peter and Andrew, they had two options. Keep occupation, keep means of income, keep everything you've ever known, or follow Jesus. For the second pair, James and John, the stakes were similar and yet one step higher. Keep everything you've ever known, your means of income, your comfort zone, and your family, or leave it all behind and follow Jesus. If you follow our gospel reading this morning all the way to verse 19, you'll find yourself suspended in that same spot with Peter and Andrew, James and John. I can only imagine what was going through their minds, how they were racing and thinking all the contingencies, how their mouths were gaping open, unable to find the words, as the nets hung from their hands, nets that represented much more than just fishing tackle, nets that represented their entire lives. In that moment, they were presented with two options: what to leave behind, what to follow after. This was ground zero, the collision point of two worlds. And so I'd ask you, what would you do in their situation? But I don't have to ask you that, because even though you're sitting here at Faith Lutheran in the middle of some snow, 2,000 years later, that same call from Jesus calls out to you. Come, follow me. And so, would you rather? Would you rather do what it takes to follow Jesus or ignore his call? How's your head? Is it racing with all the possibilities? Is your mouth full of protests, worries, disappointments? What's that thing, that net-like thing that you're holding on to that stands between you and fully investing yourself in the call of your Savior? Might it be those priorities we mentioned earlier? Those things in your life that you just can't imagine giving up, the things that you've worked so hard for, the things that you love so dearly, things that seem so much more important than the words and the promises of a man that lived 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world that you've never actually met. Or maybe for you it's fear. Fear about what following Jesus might actually mean. What giving your life completely to your Lord might have in store for you. Or maybe it's fear that you wouldn't be good enough, that you wouldn't know enough, that you wouldn't be able to say enough, that you wouldn't be able to accurately and completely communicate the message that Jesus has for the world. Or maybe it's a lifestyle, a way of living that you've gotten used to, whether it's a positive way of living, or maybe it involves something that you're ashamed of, that your God's ashamed of, that your fellow members would be ashamed of if they actually learned about it. And so maybe instead you live your life just in the shadows, out of sight, out of mind, not causing any waves, not causing a stir, because if they really knew who I was, well then they wouldn't want me here anyway. If God really knew who I was, then he wouldn't be calling me anyway. And so I'll hide in the darkness and hope no one sees. Come, follow me, Jesus says. These are the words that echo not only over the Sea of Galilee, but even echo to this church today, even into those dark places that we so often try to hide. The darkness makes us many promises. But here's the thing about darkness: it never keeps those promises. It tells us it can hide us. It tells us it can protect us. It tells us that if we put our lives and all of our flaws in the darkness, that they will really be hidden. And if we keep those things that we treasure there too, well then God won't take them away. These are the things that I need to keep. These are the things that I won't give up. How ironic that we try to hide from the God who sees all things. As if we hide in the shadows, he can't actually see what we're doing. We think the darkness is good for all those things, but in reality the darkness is only good for one thing: convincing us that the things we hide in it actually have meaning when they really don't. I imagine you've been there before. It's an early weekend morning. You got home the night before, and you looked at your house, and you saw, you know, it's not too bad. You know, it's clean enough. But then you wake up, and then the sun's shining through the window, and it's really intense, and the beams are almost horizontal with the floor. And then you look, and you said to yourself, oh no, I need to clean today, because it's dusty, it's dirty, there's cracks on all the furniture, it's just a mess. The darkness of the previous evening convinced you there was nothing wrong. But the light the next morning showed all the problems. No wonder we hate the light. No wonder we hate the fact that Jesus shines in our lives, because what it shows us is that the things that we hide in the darkness, both those dirty things and the things we treasure, they're empty. They're falling apart. They need a restoration that we can't provide. But this is exactly what our Savior wants to show you today by coming into your darkness and shining the light of His love. It's to show you that the things behind you, the things that you so treasure, those aren't the things that matter. No, it's the things ahead of you. The things that are illuminated by the light of His love, those are the things worth following. And so Jesus says today, like He did before, come, follow me. And yet for Peter and Andrew, do you notice He didn't stop there? He gave them an example of what they're going to follow after. He says, come, follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish. Which is kind of silly if you think about it, because Jesus was raised a carpenter, and Peter and Andrew were fishermen by trade. And so if Jesus was out there showing them how to tie fishing knots and throw nets, yeah, that would have been foolish. But He wasn't there to talk about technique. He was there to show them that there was a greater catch to be had. You've probably heard the adage, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. I'm going to add one more this morning. Show a man how to fish for people, and he'll be satisfied for eternity. What Andrew, Peter, James, and John had done their entire lives, it was good. It was full of meaning and purpose. It pleased God. What they were doing was good, but Jesus had something better. And by better, I don't mean it was easy. No, they were going to have to give up a lot, have to sacrifice a lot, to give a lot of service and go through some hard times. And yet, it was better. Because what the payoff was going to be wasn't something trivial and passing, but it was something that would last. Because they had a choice. They had a would you rather, two options. And if they would have stayed with their families, stayed in their boats, stayed doing their occupation, they would have had a pleasant enough life. They would have been in their comfort zones. But just imagine what they would have missed. The miracles. The promises made and the promises kept, the life perfectly lived, the death perfectly died, the resurrection guaranteed a better tomorrow, a better future. But most of all, they would have missed a faith that looks at the true fisher of men and everything he's done and says, that was done for me. Come, follow me. Jesus says to you, so what will you do? Risk dropping the nets, dear friends, and risk following after your Savior. The things that you so treasure and love in your life right now, they are good things. They are blessings from God. But should they take priority in our lives, we're going to miss out because God has something better ahead for you. It's a kingdom full of lights, but this light does not show the cracks and the flaws and the dust and the work that needs to be done, but this light shows the bliss and the beauty beyond compare that will never end. if we should be persuaded to stay behind and follow after the things from our past, those things that we cling to, we'll have a pleasant enough life, but we'll miss out on what's ahead. And here's the lie the darkness continues to tell you today, that you can't live on both sides. You can't live with Jesus and the things you love. You must choose. You must prioritize one and leave behind the other. But that's not true. Just like the game Would You Rather, you can have both. And it's actually in having both that you find true meaning. Imagine what kind of friend you could be if you drop the nets and follow Jesus. Imagine what kind of family member or spouse you could be if you invested fully in your Lord. The things you hide in the darkness, all the darkness is doing is convincing you that Jesus doesn't give things meaning. When in fact, the only way that we have and find meaning is through the one that calls us. And the one who makes all things new, things past and things future. And you may be saying to yourself, that's ridiculous. You're right. It is. The gospel is ridiculous to the darkness because the darkness can't understand it. And yet, the darkness will not overcome it. And so this would you rather propose to you today isn't just the surface level fun game that we talked about. It has a deeper purpose. Because in Jesus getting you to follow him, your Lord gets exactly what he's always wanted. To be with you forever. And what a love that is. After all, you can see someone's heart most clearly in what they're not willing to give up. And that's you. Amen.